Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it is to be able to come into church service and sense the presence of God in this place and to hear music that no doubt brings honor and glory to the cause of Christ that does speak to the Spirit. Amen. That just encourages us and lifts us up to be ready to receive the preaching of the Word of God. And so I trust that that's what's taking place here this morning, that you are just sense the presence of God in this place and that you are ready now just to look into the precious Bible that God has preserved for us and to hear the message that God has for each one of us here today. The book of Jeremiah, Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to read a passage of scripture that is very familiar to most all that have been any time at all in church. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Now, we're going through the month of April. The month of April is our prayer and fasting awareness month. And again, understanding the power of prayer and then the extended power of prayer and fasting. And that's what fasting is. It's an extension of praying. And praise the Lord. When there are certain times that we're facing situations, facing things that we need possibly even a little more than just praying. And the Bible says, Jesus taught his disciples, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And so we understand that there is a need from time to time for an extension to prayer. And that extension to prayer is fasting. And so in the month of April, we have been presenting and preaching and teaching on more of a prayer and fasting. And so this morning, even on Easter Sunday, I believe this is the message that God would have for us. And so if you will stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And let's pray. Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have provided for each one of us to be here. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place. Thank you for what we've already received through the congregational singing and through the specials that we have heard. And now, Father, I pray that you might prepare us for what you have for us through the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that you'd give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us as individuals and collectively as a church. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth the message that you have for your people from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, as we look into the Old Testament, we find that Jeremiah was one of the prophets of the Old Testament. He prophesied before and during the Babylonian captivity. And he was placed into prison by Zedekiah, who was the king of Judah. And he was placed in prison by Zedekiah because of his preaching about the judgment of God upon Judah, which would lead into the Babylonian captivity. He had been trying to get the people to acknowledge their sin before God, and that they would, if they would only repent, that they would have the blessings of God, and they would position themselves for the blessings of God instead of the judgment of God. And they would not repent. As a matter of fact, they placed the messenger. All Jeremiah was the messenger. And the king took the messenger and put him in prison, and thinking that would be the remedy. But the idea there, it's not the messenger, it is the message. And if it's a message from God, you're not going to be able to get rid of the message from God. You're not going to be able to silence the message of God. And you're not going to be able to stop the judgment that will be associated with the message of God. And we as a people, even in America, need to learn that very same principle that we find that Judah was to learn in this time in the Old Testament. And so we find here that Jeremiah is now in prison for the preaching of the word of God. And God comes to Jeremiah. In chapter 33, we find that moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And while he was yet shut up in prison, and he spoke to Jeremiah. And verse 2, it reveals that God assures Jeremiah of who God is. He says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. He is the creator of all things. He not only is the creator, he's the Lord that formed it all. And he goes on to say, to establish it. God's will prevail. God is in control. And so he tells Jeremiah this, even though you're in prison because you're just being a faithful servant, you're just preaching what I've told you to preach, Jeremiah, I want you to realize who I am. I want you to be assured of who I am. And once he was assured of who God was, then we find that he tells Jeremiah, call unto me. Call unto me. I want to preach a message this morning on why we should pray and fast. Why we should pray and fast, or simply why we should call upon the name of the Lord. The first thing that we need to realize, as Jeremiah would realize, that prayer is a privilege. To be able to communicate with an almighty creator God, it's a privilege. A privilege is a benefit beyond what others would have. A benefit beyond what others would have. The nation of Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament. It was those who believed in a creator God. They believed in one God in three persons. They believed that God Almighty was their God. He was the true God of all humanity. We find in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, let me just read it to you. You can go there if you'd like, but if I go too fast, mark these verses down. But in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, God tells Israel, says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You have a privilege because you know who I am. You have a privilege because you are my people. And if my people will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Prayer is a privilege that God has reserved for believers. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, as Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, he wanted them to know this, and God has preserved it in his word that we might be able to read and understand this likewise. In Ephesians, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened. He's talking to the church, talking to those who have believed. And he says he has quickened. That quickened means he had been made alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Can I tell you this morning, a dead person cannot communicate with God. A dead person might go through the formalities and they might think that they are praying and they might even get on their knees and they might even, if they want, to close their hands if they think that's going to help or whatever they might do. They might go through the motions of praying, but can I tell you that they will not communicate with an almighty God. If they are dead to God, then they have no communication. And the Bible says that all humanity, once we reach that age of accountability, we have this sin condition, and because of the wages of sin, we are dead to God. And you, he says, to those who are believers now in the book of in the church of Ephesus, hath he quickened. You were dead, but he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Those are the kind of things that lost people live to do. They live according to the philosophies of the flesh. They live according to the ways of the world. And the Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we find here that prayer is a privilege that God has reserved for those who will believe in him. We believe before we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 10, I love the Romans road, and the most clearest passage of Scripture, the clearest passage of Scripture that understands God's plan for salvation for humanity. But in verse 10 it says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So before we will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, we will have to first of all believe that there is a God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. Believe that I have a need of a Savior. Believe that Jesus died for my sins on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago. And if you will, believe that he has resurrected from the grave. And believe that he is alive today, ever living to make intercession for us. We have to first of all believe that we are in need of a Savior. A person cannot get saved unless you see the need to be saved, unless you see yourself as being lost and on your way to a devil's hell. Once you realize that you are lost in need of a Savior and you believe that Jesus is the plan of God for salvation, then you can call upon the name of the Lord. And as you call upon the name of the Lord and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he says here, this is a privilege now that you have because of your salvation, because you have believed and you have called upon the name of the Lord. Now you can communicate with me. Prayer. Communications, true communications. I'm not talking about just bowing and saying some kind of a prayer that you have learned to quote. I'm not talking about just saying words. I'm not talking about even bowing on your knees. I'm talking about communicating with God. Prayer is a communication with God. And if you believe, and if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me, God says you now have a privilege. Something that not everyone has. A benefit that not everyone has. But if you're saved, you understand it. If you're saved, you're thankful that you can. Not because you're worthy. Not because you deserve it. But because of God's love for you. He has given you a privilege of communicating with him. Jeremiah was God's servant. Jeremiah was one who believed in God. And we find here as he's in prison, he's going through a very difficult time in his life. And God comes to Jeremiah and he says, this is my word to you, Jeremiah. First of all, do you believe? Do you truly understand who I am? Do you have that belief? And in verse 2, he reveals that belief to Jeremiah. And as Jeremiah would believe that, then he says to him, call upon me, because if you believe, you have the privilege to call upon me. Look back there with me. Not only in chapter 33 and verse 2, he says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. But if you look back to chapter 32 and verse 26 and verse 27, he had already come to Jeremiah once before, and this is, he says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Let's make an application. Do you believe? Are you a believer? Do you believe in a creator God? You can't get saved unless you believe that there is a God. You cannot be saved unless you understand that it's God who determines who the plan of salvation. There's philosophies on every church, on every street corner. And whatever church, so-called church, that would open their doors, you can go in and there'll be a philosophy of what you have to do or what you have to be able to go to heaven when you die. Most of those are not based upon the Word of God. Most of those philosophies are based upon the philosophies of man. When you open up God's holy Word, the precious Word that God has preserved for us, as we taught in our Sunday morning Sunday school, in this adult class, we understand that the Bible is God's love letter to mankind. And the Bible is what God says. And what God says about salvation is what's most important. And the first thing to getting saved is you have to, first of all, believe that there is a creator God. There is a God who reveals that there is a heaven and there is a place of hell. And I ask you this morning, listen to me, you're in church this morning. That ought to help you to understand you had a desire to come to church. There was something that pricked your heart to say you need to be in church, especially on this day, especially on a day that we have set aside as a nation to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ did live on this earth. He did walk on this earth. He did go to the cross of Calvary. And on the third day, he did resurrect from the grave. For 2,000 years, that message has been clear to all the world to hear. No matter how hard and what kind of desire Satan had to snuff that out, God said, heaven and earth will pass away, my word shall never pass away. It's just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago when they went to that empty tomb. But the question this morning, do you believe in a creator God? And if you do, then do you believe in the gospel? Do you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you don't believe that, then you cannot be saved. Not only do you have to believe in a creator God, you have to believe that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to come to this earth because there was no other way to redeem mankind than through the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. And he came to this earth to live a sinless life, to reveal to us what we ought to look to and how we ought to live to please God as a Christian faith. And then he went to the cross of Calvary after living a sinless life. And he paid our sins dead on Calvary's cross. And he resurrected on the third day. Do you believe that? That's simply the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. You believe the Bible to be the true word of God. Have you done what the Bible says a person must do to be saved? If you believe that and you know that you've done what the Bible says a person needs to be saved, can I tell you something? You have a privilege. If you're here this morning and you believe that because of your faith and your belief in what God says, if you have that belief, if you have that faith and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, listen to me, you have a privilege that only those who believe have. Call upon the name of the Lord, to communicate with God. Privilege, and whether you understand it or not, is true. To be able to drive a vehicle legally, it's a privilege in the United States of America. In order to have this privilege, you have to have a valid driver's license. If you don't have a valid driver's license, listen to me, you cannot legally drive a car in the United States of America. Now, can you drive a car? Many do. But they're not driving it legally. They do not have the blessing of the government. And if you are pulled over by one of the representatives of the laws of the land, he's going to acknowledge that you do not have a valid driver's license, and you're going to go off to jail. Amen? It's a privilege. In order to continue that privilege of driving, then you have to have a good driving record. If you're not careful, and if you do things that the law says you cannot do, you will lose the privilege, even though you were granted the privilege to a driver's license. If you do things that the law tells you not to do, and you drink and drive, or if you get too many speeding tickets, if you go beyond what they allow you, then they say you have forfeited your right to legally drive. And you do not have that privilege any longer. The Bible tells us that God gives us the privilege of prayer to those who believe. Even though you've got the privilege, if you have received that privilege, if you look back to live in sin, or if you live in a way that is not pleasing to God, the Bible says that God will not listen to your prayers. Wow. So first of all, we have to believe and receive Christ as our Savior. If you have that, you have been given a privilege of communicating with God. Don't lose that privilege. If you have received the privilege, let's keep it to communicate with God. A good reason to call upon the name of the Lord, because it's a privilege that not everyone has. Second of all, look back with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. It's a privilege. Why we should pray and fast, it's a privilege that God has given to us who believe. Not only is it a privilege that God has given to us, we need to know that prayer is a command. You cannot live the Christian life as God wants you to live the Christian life without communicating with God. Call unto me. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus taught his disciples that you ought to pray without ceasing. Jesus taught his disciples not only should you pray, there's going to come time, you're going to face trials in your life, and there are going to come days and times that you'll need to not only pray, but you'll need to pray and fast. Prayer honors God. Prayer stimulates spiritual growth and keeps me mindful of his presence. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. In the book of Psalms, in Psalms chapter 62, Psalms chapter 62. I love this psalm. It helps us. Psalms chapter 62. Verse 5. The psalmist says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. He believes in God. He believes he can communicate with God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Amen. Look at verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now, God commands us to pray, and we understand that he commands us as we have been given the privilege. He says, now use it. And reveals to us how powerful it can be. Living a life of knowing that God hears my prayers will help you in any and every situation that you'll ever find yourself in. Pour out your heart before him. God knows you like no one else can know you. God is a refuge for us. It's a command, but it's a, listen, blessed command. It's like when you're raising children, you have to command them to eat their food. They don't want to eat what's good for them. They don't want to eat their vegetables. They don't want to eat it if it doesn't look exactly how they think it should look. But it's a command. You command your children, eat your food, eat your food. You command your children to take a bath. You command your children to brush their teeth. No matter how much they want to rebel against it, you command your children to go to bed. But then once you grow up, once you grow beyond childhood and you start maturing, you learn, wow, I get to eat. What I was commanded to do when I was little, now I realize, and some of us realize it all too well, I get to eat. And as you mature in life, then you realize, wow, I enjoy taking a bath. Amen. Even though I was commanded to when I was little, now that I grow up, I realize why I was commanded to, and it becomes a blessing. It's a blessed command because now I enjoy taking a shower. I enjoy brushing my teeth. I hope everyone here would agree to that. What used to be a command when I was little, I didn't understand it all. But then as I mature in my physical life, I understand that which I was commanded to do as a child by my parents. Then I realize, wow, it's something that is a blessed command. I used to have to be commanded to go to bed. Now I look forward to the time when I can go to bed. Amen. Prayer, once you understand it. Once you mature to the place and realize the power that God has given to us, not only in prayer, but in prayer and fasting, you'll look up into the heavens and you'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege. And thank you for the command to call upon. The third reason as we are getting ready to close, and I believe possibly the most important reason of all, why we should pray and fast, it is a privilege that not everyone has. It is a command given to all who have the privilege. The last reason is found right there when the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer. Most important reason why? It's because it works. It will make a difference. Prayer will and does make a difference. And not only does prayer make a difference, but prayer and fasting will make a difference. I will answer. See, first, to be saved, to have this privilege, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to call. Before you call, you have to believe. And if you believe and then you call, then you have been given a privilege that will bring you salvation. Not based on what the Baptist church says. Not based upon what your parents taught you, but what's most important, based upon the very words of God. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. shall be saved. It works. If you're here, if you're, you know that you're saved here this morning, you can say, I know it works. I know that believing and calling upon the name of the Lord, it works because it changed my life. When I received Jesus Christ, He came into my heart and He gave me a different outlook on my life and on what the important things of this life are all about church, about everything about life. It made a difference because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things are become new. So first, it works by bringing to us salvation. And then, in the beginning, it's a sinner's prayer. Once I get saved, it's the prayer of a child to his father. What father, what loving father would not want to give his child what he would ask for? God reveals how prayer works. Jesus taught the model of praying. And he told his disciples, after this manner pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. So we find that prayer, we pray to God. You don't pray to Jesus. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, pray to the Father. You pray through the Son, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus taught in John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, and throughout the Scriptures, but He says, ask the Father in My name. So I have this privilege of prayer, and as I understand the privilege of prayer, the Bible says this is how it works. You pray to the Father, who is the Creator of all things, who's able to do all things, and He has established it that you pray to Him through the Son. There's no way of getting to the Father outside of you going through the Son. That's why you cannot communicate with God until you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Prayer is a privilege given to us who believe and have received Christ as our Savior now, because I can go through the blood of Jesus Christ, and through His blood, God sees me as being justified. God sees me as being sinless. God sees me as His child. I can pray through Jesus in His name to God the Father. But there's a third part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which we are taught that we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells within everyone that has believed and received Him. And if you yield to Him, He will direct you in even how to know how to pray. Ephesians 6, chapter 6 and verse 18, as it gives the spiritual armor that we put on, he says in verse 18, praying always with all power and supplication. And that supplication is fasting in the Spirit. You cannot pray in the Spirit unless you have the Spirit. How do we get the Spirit? According to the Word of God, it comes when you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. He sends the Spirit of God to dwell within you, to seal you to the day of redemption. That takes place when you believe and receive Christ. Now you have a relationship with the Father. You have access to His presence through the Son. And you have the authority and the power to do it in the Spirit of God. Wow. Call unto me. Why? I pray. And why? I not only pray, but I pray, and when needed, fast. Let me ask you this morning, do you know you have the privilege? Do you know that when you pray that your prayers are getting through to God? Or is it just emotion? Why just go through the motions when you can truly have communications with the Creator God? God will answer if we believe. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you believe? If you believe, then have you received Jesus as your Savior? If you have, you have been given this privilege. You have been given this command. And you have been given a promise that God will hear and God will answer. It begins with belief. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have an opportunity right now. In just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. The invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. If God spoke to you this morning and you need to respond, oh, don't put it off any longer. Today, this morning, receive the gift of everlasting life that brings to us the privilege of communicating with God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. I pray that you would take the message now and help each one here to make whatever applications that they have need of, and then help them that need to make decisions this morning to come to this altar. Make that decision now before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.